Good morning. It is good to be with you, Brotherhood, this morning. Appreciate the opening this morning, Davey. Thank you for opening the perfect example of what I'm hoping to talk about today. So thank you for setting that precedent. And the Sunday school, I was blessed to, again, how the Sunday school is going to flow very well with what we're talking about today. I was challenged. Who are we spending time with? It was a challenge to me personally, so thank you for that. So as I was contemplating what I want to share about this morning, I knew for a while the topic I want to talk about, but I put a bunch of content together, and I was having a hard time organizing it. So I decided this morning I'm going to start with giving y'all my ending questions, and then I'll go back and we'll start with the sermon. So if you bear with me, it might not make too much sense up front, but it'll give you a little bit of an idea where I'm going throughout here. So first question for you, is there oil in my lamp? Am I filled with His Spirit? Two, am I hungry and continuing to receive power from abiding in Him? And three, am I putting forth effort, even if it makes a mess and I have eggshells in my batter? So that's where I'm going to close. I guess what prompted this message was July 4th weekend. We were out of the cabin, and I spent a couple hours on the road driving to and from work. I came home to work and went back out, and I was listening to a sermon, and he was talking about the wise and the foolish virgins. And it got my mind going, and that's where I was convicted. I was convicted of the lack of hunger in my own life. And I'll try and remember to smile. My wife, I ask her oftentimes, what can I do better in public speaking? She says I should smile more. So I'm all smiley this morning. You know why I'm smiling. So I get a little nervous, and that doesn't happen naturally, I promise. So I was convicted with my lack of hunger. Why am I not hungry? Why am I not? I can go through a week and have little to no devotional time. It doesn't bother me. I'm completely satisfied. I'm busy with life. I'm happy. Things are going well. And it just really hit me. Why is it that it doesn't even bother me? It doesn't even bother me that I'm missing my devotional time. It's no big deal. I'll get that tomorrow. Tomorrow comes and goes. I'll get it the next tomorrow. And I push it off like it's not important. Time with the Lord is not that big a deal. I'll get to it when I have nothing else to do. That's how I was treating it. And I made the likeness then to my kids. I have three kids, and my middle kid, unbelievably picky. He is the hardest kid to feed. And if he is at all not hungry, he just won't eat, right? So the only way I can get him to eat anything other than candy is he's got to be hungry. So for a few hours prior to the meal, you make sure he doesn't get any animal crackers, ain't no Doritos, there's no yogurt. He can't have any of that stuff. So when we sit down and what I think is a delicious meal, all of a sudden he's hungry enough that he can actually nibble a little at least. And when he starts nibbling, then he's hungry, and then he can eat a real meal. But as long as he's snacking, as long as he's having these little nibbles before meal, he's satisfied. He's happy. He thinks he is. He gets grouchy, but you know, I get grouchy too when I miss my devotional life. So that's kind of what prompted this message, and where it come from is just realizing it in my own life. So please, as I share this morning, give me some grace and recognize this is not, I'm not saying I attained this. This is not where I'm at. This is where I'm endeavoring to go, and this is the work that God is doing in my own life. You're welcome to turn with me if you like. My main portion of Scripture is going to be coming from Matthew 25. We'll be reading in verses 1 through 13. I'll be reading from the ESV. I just find it a little clearer, a little easier for me to be able to understand. It's fairly similar to the KJV, so I think you'll be able to follow without too much problem. So Matthew 25, verses 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. At this point, they haven't run out of oil. They still have oil in their lamps. We're assuming they have oil in their lamps, but it says that they were all burning. So there's right out of the gate, we already know that 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps with no oil with them. What's the reason that they had oil? They took the food, even the foolish lamps took oil, but they didn't have any additional oil with them. They had oil in the lamps, but no extra oil. What's the reason they had a little bit of oil? I'm assuming it's because they're anticipating it could get late, right? This was roughly 30 AD. It was about 2,000 years ago. And so the tradition was when you have somebody that's getting married, it's a big celebration. It was a couple of day event. Everybody gets together. You have a big party. It's something they're looking forward to. This couple is betrothed to each other. They're not as good as married, but it would take a writing of divorcement to break it off at this point. So when they got together as boyfriend, girlfriend, as fiancé, they talked about, listen, we're going to get married. Boyfriend says, I'm going to go prepare the house. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. She doesn't know exactly when they're going to become. They're not texting each other. Listen, I'm painting the walls right now. I got the carpets all done. I'm winding down. No, there's no communication here. He goes, he's preparing the house for them to get married. She knows that he's coming and about when he's coming, but she doesn't know exactly when. She goes out and gets her 10 bridesmaids, right? This, the way I see it, is a representation of us as a church, the 10 bridesmaids. The church is getting ready. The 10 bridesmaids come, and 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. They all have oil in their lamps at this point. They all have their lamps burning for Jesus. They're anticipating. They're getting excited. They know it might be this evening. It might be this evening when the bridegroom returns. So they want to make sure their lamps are burning. They have a fire there in their lamps. A while ago, I was, this goes back a handful of years ago, I started a service business. I was 20 years old. I started, so little brother would have been about 12 or 13. We shared a bedroom. I get a service call in the middle of the night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I get a service call, right? I go out to wherever it's going. This specific call, I was headed out towards Wrightsville, out on 30. There's a semi tire that was blown. I'm going out to replace the tire. And I started with an old 1988 GMC 2500 pickup. This old truck was a bit of a beast, but it got the job done. So I got the service call in the middle of the night. Johnny wakes up, and, hey, Jared, can I go with you? Hey, sure, come on, let's go. Keep me company. So we're out on the highway. We're rolling down 30, and this old truck, like I said, was kind of over the hill. It didn't have any dash lights, so I couldn't see my gauges. Every now and then, you use your flashlight, you know, glance down there. Yep, going about 70 miles an hour, 65, whatever it is. Well, when you can't see your gauges, the only thing I'm thinking about is, am I going too fast? Am I going fast enough? How hot my engine is, whether there's gas in the engine, that's no big deal. I'm just worried about going, right? Well, I'm headed out across 30, and all of a sudden, Johnny's sitting in the passenger seat. He says, hey, Jared, didn't you say last night when you parked the truck, I'm out of gas? At that moment, I knew I'm out of gas. I was passing an exit. I quick swerved over. I grabbed that exit. I come down to the bottom of the ramp. Everything is dead. There's no street lamps. I want to say it was maybe Landisville. There is no, I don't remember the exact exit. There was no lights around there. There's a gas station right across the street. The lights were off. I'm assuming the gas pumps were turned off. I come up to the stop sign and the truck stalls out. Now, fortunately, I hadn't quite stopped yet. Take my foot off the brake, no traffic coming. I coasted right into the gas station. In that moment, I was desperate for fuel. I was desperate for some oil or gas. It didn't matter. Usually I'm the one that runs out of gas because I'm going to the next gas station. It's a little cheaper. At this moment, I didn't care the price of the gas. It didn't matter. $50 a gallon would have been fine. I was lucky enough, even though the lights were off, the gas station was shut down. I was able to insert my card. I got gas and kept on going along my merry way. But I realized in that moment what it's like to run out of oil and the desperation of not having enough oil in my lamp, not having enough gas in my tank, as it were. With that in mind, we'll read the next verse, and we'll keep on going here. I'm assuming before y'all came, y'all did the same thing. There's some level of anticipation for y'all to be here this morning. Y'all came, y'all put some work and some preparation into being here. You took some, you checked your gas gauges, I hope. Y'all were probably sitting at the table last night. Is there gas in the car? Yeah, we're good. You made sure that you were prepared. Verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They had a spare gas jug in the back. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Imagine the terror of waking up and realizing that you're out of oil. Man, I hope I have enough gas to get me in. Maybe there's just enough. You're lighting that real quick. Real quick. Maybe there's just enough. Maybe there's just enough left in there. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. I'm not sure why they bothered. They weren't burning. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. He didn't say, I never knew you. He said, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I can only imagine the terror, and that, I mean, again, that wasn't eternal life for them. This was a wedding. For us, we're talking about eternal life here. But imagine for those five bridesmaids that woke up realizing they're out of oil and the desperation. They would have given $50 a gallon for their oil in that moment. They weren't fortunate enough to have a gas station that close. They would have been glad to buy oil. They would have been given anything to be able to get in. I'd like to encourage those that have not made a commitment this morning. The gas station is still open. Oil is still available. Today is the day of salvation. You can still get oil. I'm teaching the intermediate class, and a lot of y'all have a relationship with Christ. I want to talk today about how to maintain that relationship with Christ. But those of y'all that don't have a relationship with Christ, today is the day of salvation. Don't push it off. They've been waiting for probably multiple nights. They didn't know when this bridegroom was going to return. In the moment they weren't expecting him, he returned, and they were out of oil. That quick, that fast, and they were unprepared. Today is the day of salvation. There is still time. Scripture seems to indicate that the 10 virgins are us as a brotherhood, though. As we as a church, as the 10 virgins. The sobering part to me is that they all had oil, and only half of us will have enough oil to sustain. Is that us as Joy Christian Fellowship? Only half of us are going to sustain? Lord, help us. I hope not. But that is the illustration, right? It says, it's talking about the church. So the church at large is only going to be half of those that start the race will end up with enough oil to win the race. How are we going to have enough oil to be sustainable? Did they just have that big a jug? Or were they just consistently filling their small vessel? I can't imagine. Maybe they did. I don't suspect that those five wise virgins were carrying a 5-gallon pail with them everywhere they went. I'm assuming they had a small vessel with them that was enough to last them through the night. And each day they would fill their vessel and they would be prepared for the next night. Each day they were spending time preparing for the following night. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need help. We forget. We get busy, right? Just like I said, I had Johnny in the passenger seat. If I hadn't had Johnny in the passenger seat, sure as everything, I'd have ran out of gas because I wasn't keeping up with it myself. I had a brother on my side that reminded me, Jerry, you need gas. And fortunately, I took to heart what he said. I knew he was right. I did need gas, and it worked out because I had a brother in my life. We all have brothers in our lives. We have sisters in our lives. Let's engage. Let's help our brothers. Let's be willing to be helped when somebody speaks into our lives. Let's hear them. We need that. That's the only reason I didn't run out of gas, because I had a brother speaking into my life. Let's be the brother to speak into somebody else's and be willing to have somebody speak into our lives. What is the source of this oil? How do we get more oil? I'm going to read a couple of verses from John 15. Abide, I'm reading verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Where do we get, what is the source of our oil? I think we just discovered the source of our oil. We must be tapped into this vine. This vine is going to be the source of our nutrients, of our oil, as it were. Mixing the two analogies. We can't have enough self-control. We cannot have enough self-control to be good. We cannot have enough self-control to live above sin. We've often heard about trying to pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. You can't pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, right? You can't be good enough. But what you can do is have enough discipline to get out of bed in the morning to spend time with the Lord in prayer. So I already told you Declan is a picky eater. And so oftentimes Saturday mornings I'll make breakfast. I go into work late and I'll ask the boys, what do y'all want for breakfast this morning? And more times than not, they want pancakes. He's picky. Pancakes are sweet. They taste good, right? So he wants pancakes. All right, so I don't have a problem making the pancakes. It's easier if I just whip them up real quick. But I like to see him engaging with it. I like to see him putting in some effort. So I'm like, all right, if you want some pancakes, no problem. Jump up on the countertop. I'll help you make some pancakes. Is it because I need him? It's not because I need him. I want to see some effort. I want to see some. I want to see that he's engaged, right? So he'll hop up on the counter next to me, and he'll grab an egg, he'll crack it open, I'll put some flour in there, and he'll get flour all over around the bowl, he'll smear some oil around as we're making this, and I'll mix it together, I'll fry it, I'll make sure that he doesn't get burnt, I'll do all the heavy lifting, but I want to see him putting in a little effort. I want to, yeah, it's okay, sometimes those pancakes have some cracked eggshells in them, but he thinks that he made the pancakes, though, you know, those pancakes are the best pancakes ever because he made them, cracked eggshells and all, he loves it. So, is he making the pancakes? It's easier if I make the pancakes, right? But he's putting in some effort. If you want pancakes, son, come on up here. We'll make some pancakes. But I want you to have enough discipline to at least crack the eggs open, right? I think sometimes it's the same thing for God. We can't be good enough, but he does want us to spend some time. He wants us to have some discipline. He wants us to put in some work, and then he'll do the heavy lifting for us. Yes, he will fill us with his spirit. That's the only way that we're going to be sustainable. It's the only thing that's going to give us power above sin is the spirit of Christ. But he does want us to have some discipline. He does want us to get up and spend time with him. How do we abide in Christ? Because I think that's going to be the key, learning how to abide in Christ so we know how to have more of this oil. I have 7 points for abiding, and I'll start with point number one, is intentional relationship with Christ. We're going to have to be intentional. It's going to take personal devotions. I know it can be cliche, everybody says, well, you should have your quiet time. Well, no, you really need to have quiet time. You need to have personal devotions, it's time alone with God in prayer, and stillness, where you're not rushed, you're taking time. We have a park about 50 acres, something like that, right next to our little housing development, has trails all through it. The best times I've ever had with God are those times when I'm away from the house, I'm away from my business, where there's all kinds of things to distract me. When I get away from everything, leave the phone at home if you can, or at least silence it, and just be alone, quiet. You tell God about the things that you're dealing with. Yes, that's great. But what you need is to hear the voice of God, right? God already knows what we need. We need to tell him because it does something for us when we tell God about what we need. So those things are good and right. But it's in the still, small voice. That's where God's voice is. So just be quiet. Be quiet for once and listen. It doesn't have to be all about the requests. Asking God for this, asking God for that. We can ask God, Lord, what would you have for me today? Lord, fill me with your spirit, God. Today, I need more oil. I'm about to run out. I need more oil, Father. Fill me. Saturation in the scripture, point two. Letting the world dwell in you richly. In Colossians 3:16, letting the word dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom and singing, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, thankfulness in your heart. In a time when opinions and media, everything is saturates us, man, as I was preparing for this message, I'm sitting there, I'm in front of my computer because I need a computer to prepare, right, so I can look things up. It is handy, but my goodness, you have, my phone is sitting next to me, my phone keeps lighting up. You have everything lights up to catch you. There's so many distractions. It's unbelievable. If this week, more than anything, you hear all about the death and the killings that are happening. So now you have these things in your mind. You're wondering, did they catch the killer? How are things going? Set these things aside and have a regular time of meditating. Not just for knowledge, but for transformation. We can have the head knowledge. Head knowledge only gets us so far. Let's take time to spend with God, again, not for knowledge, but for transformation. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's by the renewing of your mind, those quiet times of renewing your mind in Christ. Point three, obedience when it's hard. In a culture that often promotes self over surrender, it is so easy for us to look out for ourselves. Look out for what makes me look good. Well, what benefits me? In business, what benefits the business? That's my job, is to make the business profitable. What benefits the business? In a culture that often promotes self and surrender, obedience becomes a radical act of love and trust. Let's learn to love and trust, and even when it comes at a price and we're giving up of our something that would be beneficial to ourselves. Point four, fruitfulness is not busyness. And I know too much about this. This is what makes me feel accomplished. What makes me feel successful is when I'm busy. I'm getting things accomplished. I'm checking things off. That's the reason I wasn't hungry anymore. That's the reason I was losing my hunger. It's because I was checking these things off. I was accomplishing things. I had a to-do list for myself, and I was accomplishing things. It made me feel good. I'm satisfied. I had a nice little checklist for myself, and I started accomplishing. As I was accomplishing them, I was feeling successful. I was starting to feel fulfilled. I was finding my fulfillment in the things that I was doing. Faithfulness over busyness. Faithfulness is spending time with Christ. Yeah, even when there's things I could be doing that are profitable financially, giving up of those times to spend with Christ. Valuing the connection, valuing that the vine and staying connected with that vine, abiding in the vine. Point five, community and fellowship. The branch is not alone. The vine is not alone. There's lots of little different branches that come off. Imagine if one of those branches starts drooping a little. You see a leaf that starts dying. Don't you think that one of those branches ought to start talking to the next branch? Hey, brother, are you still connected? What's going on? Why are you dying? Why are you sick? Stay with the brotherhood. We need the body of Christ. Be authentic. Be vulnerable. Be willing to open yourselves to your brothers. Be willing to hear from your brothers. Be accountable. And share a shared mission. There's something about a shared mission when you're together. We go out to Harrisburg Kids Ministry. There's something really neat about all the teachers getting together on a Thursday night. We know what we're here for. We have a common goal. We're going out to talk to these kids and try and sow seeds to be used of Him. Tonight we have a common goal. Have a shared mission. We take a summer break. The best times are usually whenever we get back together for our, we go out to Earl's Cab and we have a time of like renewing. We catch up with each other after the summer break. We have a shared mission. We're excited to get back in it together. Make sure we have a community, a fellowship. We have accountability and a shared mission. Resisting distractions. We already touched on this just a little bit, but resisting distractions. When you're spending time with God, turn your phone off. At very least, turn the silence that you don't need to be looking at. Turn it upside down so you don't see it. Leave it at home. You don't need these distractions. And take time to hear from God. There's nothing that distracts me sooner than there. I'm connected with God. I'm having sweet fellowship with God. And my phone vibrates or it buzzes instantly. I wonder who that is. I'll just check real quick just so I can dismiss it. Oh, it doesn't dismiss. And all of a sudden you're thinking about that messenger app or that whatever it is that somebody just sent you a message. Leave the phone to the side, guys. Let's connect. Let's stay connected to that vine. We want to abide in the vine. If we truly want to abide in the vine, let's lay aside these things that distract us. Another thought, and I can't say that I've done this, a suggestion I would have, a feel that could be beneficial, would be to take a digital Sabbath. Lay the phone aside for the day. At very least, turn all the notifications off so you can't be distracted. Leave the phone out in the car at church. You don't need it in church. Leave the phone out in the car. And then, best yet, leave it at home. It's on the charger. It'll be charged up for Monday morning. Take a digital Sabbath, a time of just solitude and redefining success according to God's kingdom. I think if we got a hold of that one, honestly, that would make one of the biggest difference in my life. I know it would. I'm busy, and it's because I allow myself to be busy, and it often comes back to all the connections that I have. People are messaging me, people send me messages, I see opportunities, there's so many things I could be connecting with. There's always emails to be doing, there's always things that you can be doing. If you have your phone with you, you'll tend to keep yourself busy, and you'll lose on those connections with God. Dependence on the Holy Spirit. We can't bear fruit on our own. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Cultivate a moment-by-moment awareness of the Holy Spirit's presence and guidance. I think that's what, like I said, we can't be good enough. We can't keep ourselves out of sin. We can't fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, but we can crack those eggs. We can make a mess getting the flour in there. We can put forth some effort, and then God will fill us with His Holy Spirit. He sees that we have a desire. He says to ask, and He will give it to us. All right, Luke 10, I will read that. That was my seventh point. I will go on from there. That is abiding in Christ, 7 points I have for abiding in Christ. I would like to take a look at, we're talking a little bit about the distractions, being busy. Let's take a look at Mary and Martha. I'm going to read from Luke 10, verse 38. Going to be a few verses here. Again, I'll read from the ESV. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So he's walking down the road. Martha comes and welcomes him. She was the one that was welcoming. Come on in, Jesus. She was the first one to engage. We see that she's busy. She's doing the Lord's work. She's the one that invites Jesus in. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, much busyness, much running tire shops, much changing tires, much doing things. She was busy washing dishes, the busyness of life. But Martha was distracted with much serving. It was a good thing, I'm sure. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Come on, tell her to stop being lazy. Get out here, help. I shouldn't have to be doing everything myself. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. What was that good thing that she had chosen? Was that good thing that she had chosen to abide in the vine? I believe that's what she was doing. She was spending time at the feet of Jesus. She was abiding in the vine. The Martha that was doing good things, she was inviting Jesus in. She was being hospitable. She was serving. She was doing a lot of good things. But Jesus rebuked her for that and said that Mary is the wise one and won't be taken from her. Just sit down, learn. The dishes will get washed when they get washed. People don't need to eat right now. Just learn. Thought maybe I would have a fuel gauge here, a a whiteboard, I'd draw a fuel gauge, but I think I'll skip, I'll keep on rolling. Imagine if we had a fuel gauge. On the one side is full and the other side is empty. That's how we know when we have oil in our lamp, right? If we have a gauge that tells us when we're full and when we're empty. Spiritually, we do have a fuel gauge. We do know when we're full and when we're empty. If we can read the gauge, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Because that's what we want to be filled with, is the fruits of the Spirit. So if those fruits are being manifested, then we know that we're full, that we have the fruit of the Spirit, that we have the Spirit of God living within us. But what about it, the fruits of the flesh? So I'll read a handful of the fruits of the flesh, and we're going to put that on the E side. Obviously, we're running on E. If we see these things in our own lives, we're running on E. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. I would never have an idolatry, right? We don't worship idols. Or do we? I know I have a house, I have vehicles, I have a business. Are they taking more time from me than my business? I'm sorry, are they taking more time from me than what I'm spending with the Lord? Am I staying connected with Him? Are they my priority over my relationship with Christ? If my relationship with Christ is one step below any of these, whatever is above my relationship with Christ is idolatry. The idolatry is a fruit of the flesh. There's enmity, strife, jealousy. Am I jealous of what my brothers have? Am I jealous of what others have? Fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness. These are all fruits of the flesh. I trust we're not seeing these in our lives. If we are, we need to take heed. These are a sign that our fuel gauge is on E. You better hit that exit quick. You're about to run out of oil. Take that exit while you still can. What's the fruits of the Spirit? The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Do we have the peace of God in our hearts, or are we anxious? Patience. Oh, Lord, help me with this. I have two little boys and a daughter. I need a patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit of the Spirit, brothers. If we're seeing these fruits in our lives, praise God. You have the Spirit of God abiding within you. You're abiding in the vine. You have oil in your vessel. But if we're seeing the fruits of the flesh, take heed. Take the exit quick. Let's get some oil. We don't want to run out. So is there oil in my lamp? In conclusion, am I filled with His Spirit? We already went through the fruit of the Spirit. Are we filled? Do we just have a little of it? Am I filled with His Spirit? Two, am I hungry? Am I continuing to receive power from abiding in Him? Am I hungry? Have I cut off all these extra things that are taking away my hunger? Have I cut out all the junk food of my life? Have I developed a hunger for righteousness? And am I abiding in Him? Am I abiding in the vine? Am I putting forth effort, even if it makes a mess? I have a few eggshells in the batter. A few eggshells in the batter, it's okay. Remember, it's all right if our life gets just a little bit messy. If that's because we are putting forth effort to abide in the vine, and that's not eggshells wasted. That means we're putting in effort. Our life can get a little messy from time to time. God's asking that we abide, and He can clean up the mess. That'll be fine. Trust I can be an inspiration and a blessing to y'all. It's been a challenge to me as I have prepared for this. I know we all have a desire to be filled with the Spirit of God. I trust we all have the Spirit of God, but there's most of us, at least myself, I'll speak to myself, I know I have the Spirit of God, but I've not been filled to the greatest extent. I want to learn how to abide in the vine. I want to learn how to stop and get oil on a daily basis. I don't want to have to make those emergency exits where I'm quick getting oil, but I'm about to run out, sliding in by the skin of my teeth. I want to abide in the vine. I want to daily make time to spend with the Lord. I want to daily have time of fellowship with Him. And through those times of fellowship with Him, I know He will fill my vessel with His Spirit, and I can live victoriously with Him abiding within me. Thank you for your time.